So this is part one. Well, it's the second study, but part one of what's going to be two parts. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Proverbs 31, verses 12 to 16. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. This is all speaking of the bride, her actions toward Christ. And we are Christ, so it's can be looked at multiple ways, but essentially it's talking about our relationship with each other and our relationship with Christ as our Savior and our head. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. The physical endeavors that preserve this woman's family due to the diligent spirit that God has given her represent the diligent work that he's doing within the bride of Christ, the church today, to preserve you a posterity in the earth. And that's what Joseph was saying to his brothers in Genesis 45, verse 7, meaning all the world in Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That is going to be saved by a great deliverance via the body of Christ. The natural deliverance will come first in Matthew 24, 22. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And then in the great white throne judgment, all of mankind will be saved via the body of Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, 46, which we know it tells us that that which is natural is first, and afterwards that which is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 6, 3, know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Luke 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And that's speaking to the body of Christ. Mary's a type of the church. We found favor, and God says we're not to fear. There's another verse where he says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's, of course, how he's giving us the kingdom through his favor. And his favor, of course, is his grace, his that chastens us, teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lust. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's God's grace and favor in our life upon the body of Christ, demonstrated in chastening us and scourging us, so that we forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts in this age. And that is the piercing being spoken of that Mary, who represents the church, must endure, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And that's the same word. The word, of course, is paideia, teaching. Genesis 45, verse 7 and 8. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance, typified by Israel being delivered by a mighty hand from Egypt. God is doing the same thing with the Israel of God, moving heaven and earth for the body of Christ today to deliver us so that we can become saviors who come up on Mount Zion to deliver the world. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, and this is how it's being accomplished, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, in our heaven and our earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. So, of course, when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven, that's what we're asking, that the Lord will be working in us, both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure. So now it was Genesis 45, verse 8, it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt, which typifies our rulership over the nations of this world. Outwardly, one day, it says in Revelation 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. This woman of Proverbs 31, spoken of as she and her multiple times, typifies the body of Christ, who, like Christ, will be found full of grace and truth in the first resurrection, and is why the angel says to Mary, who typifies the church, "For you have found favor with God." It's an ongoing favor that God's people are growing in as we fill up what is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. John 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh. It's interesting when you read that, you think, well, yes, Christ was made flesh, but remember, we talked about it yesterday. We are his flesh and bones. So we are becoming like our Lord, as he is, so are we, full of grace and truth. And it's a process. But the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, to accomplish his work that no flesh will glory in. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 29 to 31, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Aaron's study last night reminded us of the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which is the life of Christ being formed in us through our light affliction, which is but for a moment. God's mercy is ultimately extended to all of his creation in due time through the body of Christ, who are sent with his word to heal the nations. Our due time to experience that deliverance is right now and is being accomplished through his judgments upon the bride who will be made ready and have many children. Galatians 4, verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bear not. Break forth and cry, you that travaileth not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. And that's why Christ said, you know, if you're not worthy to rule under me, if you're not willing to see the value of that verse that we just read, he said it's more valuable than your parents, anything in this life, anything physical, because this is where all of our lives are pointing to. We know that as the body of Christ. And it takes time to really see that clearly, that no, the future, the reward, the best is yet to come. In this last section of chapter 31 of Proverbs, we'll look at the typical fruit of righteousness that God produces through this woman who represents the body of Christ, doing these works unto our husband Jesus Christ. These works were purposed in Christ and ordained from the foundation of the world, the ones that God is working within the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's no doubt if God is determined to do these works, he's saying they will be accomplished. And what he set out to do, he will do it, he will accomplish it. The works spoken of in these last verses of chapter 31 are all typical of what God can do through the body of Christ spiritually. The works that he has accomplished through the prophets of old bear witness of these wonderful works that God has ordained for Christ's wife to bring forth in this age and going forward. We are truly more than conquerors through him, is what we are being shown by all these excellent works that this woman does. And I guess the one verse I'd like to read before I read Romans is 1 Peter 1, 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. And now you can think of any prophet, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, John the Baptist, but unto us they did minister the things which are not reported unto you by them that had preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Romans 8, verse 37 and 39a, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now it brings us to our first verse. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. God's intention for the bride of Christ is to have her do good and not evil all the days of her life unto him, meaning unto Christ. And as I said, that's unto Christ and each other. Whenever we do it unto the least of these, we are doing it unto Christ. God sees the bride of Christ through Christ, by whom we are accepted. So our new man in Christ can do nothing but good and not evil all the days of her life. Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. In other words, good and not evil all the days of her life. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Our old man is decreasing as Christ increases, and the giants in the land are being overtaken by little and little. So we still have sin in our members, but that sin is being overcome day by day. And he's giving us strength to overcome and put us in remembrance of who is doing the work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But as always, it's a process that is promised to take our entire life. John 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Exodus 23, verse 30, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. God will do it. He will, the Son of Man will set us free from sin until you be increased and inherit the land. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And of course, that endurance is coming from our Lord through Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 13. Deuteronomy 7, verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once. Why? Lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. So all glory, and God is merciful to make it happen that way, little and by little, so we truly give glory and consider how he has heard us when we cried out, when we were brought to our wits' end. It was all a work of his hand. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. The she, who is the church, the bride of Christ, does many detailed things that we know represent what Christ is doing through us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, that we are working out by God's Spirit within us. Zechariah 4, verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God willing. In Philippians 3, 9, Paul says the same thing, that I would be found not with my own righteousness, my own might or power, but the righteousness of Christ, his workmanship within us. It is done willingly with her hands, because our hands are not our own, and our old carnal hands are being cut off, and our carnal eyes gouged out, like we read in Matthew, so that we can seek wool and flax that is meant to cover our nakedness. Hosea 2, 9 talks about that covering. Therefore, I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and flax to cover her nakedness. Well, it's the negative, but that's what was there when it was positively being used. It was covering our nakedness. So that's what that represents. So that we can seek wool and flax that is meant to cover our nakedness, and which represents the righteousness of Christ that we seek first through Christ's body. These two fabrics mentioned demonstrate the witness of the righteousness of Christ that we are blessed to have a hunger and a thirst for in this life. Having the fabric is one thing, even as having the faith, but when the fabric is woven into something practical, worketh willingly with our hands, it becomes precious, just as the trial of our faith does in God's sight. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So that's the new hand, the spiritual hand. The other one's cut off, the eyes gouged out. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19, verse 8. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. For the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, 1 Peter 4, verse 12 tells us it will be, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And it's to his glory, of course, if we're given to be tried and tested in the fire today, it's all to the glory of God that we can endure and go through that. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And I was thinking of Mike's study on in Isaiah, and I didn't put the link, maybe I'll add that, but where it talks about the negative merchant ships, but now we're looking at the positive merchant ships. Notice the bride is likened unto a merchant ship who brings her food from afar. There are negative merchant ships that ply the waters of Tyre, carrying the adulterous lies of Babylon to every corner of the world. And these ships go afar with the intention of making one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Isaiah 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre. Hell, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste so that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Chittim is revealed to them. Matthew 23, 15 gets the point across. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So that's going afar in a negative way. And then there's this diligent woman, Jerusalem above, the mother of us all, the mothership, as it were, who does not stubbornly go afar, compassing sea and land to make one proselyte, but rather by the God's grace and the faith of Christ, she diligently searches out the scriptures afar to prove whether these things are so, like a Berean, to go whatever distance it takes to understand the will of God, and receives her food or spiritual increase from him who abundantly provides her food from afar that is made manifest in the church. When Christ revealed himself in these two stories, the blind man healed and cast out of the synagogue, the woman of Samaria who meets Christ at the well, he was not afar, but near, as he always is. It is when we are blessed to be drawn to Christ and that the Spirit bears witness with us that we are his sons who have had our eyes and ears open. Being led then by the Spirit is the key. Whether we are taken near or far, we are always seeking a country, even while we have the earnest of our inheritance sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hebrews 11, verses 9 to 14. For by faith, speaking of Abraham, he sojourned in a land of promise. And that's what we're in. If we have that, if we're sealed and we have our hope of glory within us, Christ, we have it in earnest, that promise. As in a strange country, well, we are in a strange country because we're not of the world like Christ. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah hath herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah typifies the church. Of course, that seed is representing Christ in us. He says, not as of many, but one seed. So the miracle of our relationship as a church, the life of Christ being formed right here. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, which is another way of telling us all the world's going to be saved, but every man in his order. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. There is that afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Rising early, she rises also while it is yet night, represents the diligent spirit that God is fashioning within the body of Christ, who sacrificed their lives to be where they have to be and when they have to be there for the body's sake, which leads to spiritual liberty. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's where we pray every morning, Thy will be done. And we know that that's a miracle to have the Lord be the fit man in our life who's leading us into a position of strength and overcoming. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We still cry out, and we're heard in that we fear. Like Christ said, he still cried out, but he was assured and given the strength through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Matthew 24, verse 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season, and giveth meat to her household, as it says in this proverb? And this is speaking of all of us. This is the bride of Christ who are laying up store, longing for that day when saviors can come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. The portion given to the maidens is telling us that what God gives us to give to each other is done so in the measure of faith that we each operate in, and every joint supplies in providing for these maidens who represent the maturing body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 3, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That principle of going to the wedding and taking the lower seat, that's what this is talking about. That's thinking soberly. Don't assume anything. And the Lord has to give us that spirit too, because this is not a natural thing. This is the Lord telling us this is the way the body of Christ is going to operate, and we'll be so blessed because we'll all be providing strength to each other when we ask the Lord, Your will be done. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That word portion, not sure how to pronounce, hook, an enactment, measure was the thing I wanted to mention. And the portion, it's a portion. And the maidens there is a girl, a young damsel. Rising while it is yet night symbolizes that because the light of Christ is in our lives, both the day and the night are the same unto us as it is to God, and we find ourselves being spiritually productive in this spiritually dead world that is lying in darkness. The darkness or unbelief of others is not going to prevent the faith of Christ from prevailing within the body of Christ. God alone can use the evil circumstances, the darkness, for the good of the body of Christ. And so the light and the darkness are His to use to His glory. And it is all for the elect's sake. Christ said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. He knew those wars. He's working those things for our sakes and tells us not to fear. Psalms 139, verse 12. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, which is what Christ did when he was on the earth. And he is doing that through us. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Romans 3:3 and 4. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Christ without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged. So it's a critical part to think, well, someone has to be right. We talked about 1 John 4:6, and God is the one who's right. He's making that truth known through the church, through the body of Christ. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things, all these things. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So God gives us all of this for a reason, of course, and he wants his glory to be revealed through the church. And of course, it will be for all the world to be blessed one day to have saviors come up and take them from that bondage which we all come out of. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. The field is the world which we are in, but not part of. And while we are here, we are to occupy or tend to his vineyard until Christ returns. Christ's vineyard is in the world, but not of it. So the field she is considering and buying is the Lord's vineyard, where there is a pearl of great price. Matthew 13:38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. John 17:15 and 16, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Luke 19:13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. His holy vineyard, the church, where fruit is being born to the glory of God. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. John 15:8. It goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. We are dragged to Christ, and as such are blessed to find the pearl of great price in this age. The land or field that is purchased is the positive use of the word field that we buy, because we consider this ground or land that represents our bodies to be a holy habitation of our Father in Christ. Matthew 13:45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it, which the rich young ruler couldn't do, because he never really recognized that pearl of great price right in front of him. He wasn't being dragged. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, the ground. Exodus 3:5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou stand is holy ground. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, that land is not sanctified. It's not holy land. And that's God's call, of course. John 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. It is this holy place, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, that we can, by the grace of God, plant a vineyard and be as Christ, being given the fruit of the Holy Spirit. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. We water and plant, but God is the one who gives the increase in this vineyard that belongs to him. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, which we read earlier. The Lord will give her of the fruit of her hands, which is what it says in verse 31, which encourages us to know that God has an expected end for the bride of Christ, and that our labors with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard, are not in vain and will bring forth much fruit as God gives this increase. Give her of the fruit of her hands. So, of course, there's need of patience after you have received God's Spirit and we're working together, we're workers together in his vineyard. Christ is in your patience, possess your soul, because like our Father, he's a husbandman. He knows it's going to take time, but he's faithful and he's going to start and finish the process through Christ. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Matthew 13, verses 8 and 9. This is the expected end that Jeremiah 29 is talking about. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And those numbers are important because they tell us what God's doing in the body of Christ. And they add up to 190. So you got 100-fold, 60, and 30. That's 190. 19 times 10 is 190. Meaning the day of the Lord, the one there, produces judgment. That's the 9. And in our land, that's the 10. So that we can bring forth much fruit as his kind of first fruits. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look into more of the fruit of her hands that Christ is accomplishing within his bride, within his vineyard. And I think we'll probably maybe the last study next week, but Lord willing, we'll see. Thank you all for coming out.